Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hudson.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, July 3rd. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. First today, a hosepipe ban for South East Water customers in Kent can be enforced from today. It's been brought in because the companies faced near record demand for drinking water during the recent heat waves. Bosses say they need to reduce non-essential water use, so we shouldn't be filling paddling pools, washing the car or watering the grass. Meantime, ahead of another heat health alert coming into force tomorrow, there's a warning not enough's being done to protect care workers in Kent during the hot weather. Temperatures are likely to hit 30 degrees again this weekend, but union reps are concerned about staff who are trying to care for people in the scorching temperatures. Jo Galloway is from Unison. She's been speaking to Nicola.
Over the past couple of heat waves, and particularly heading into the next one, care workers, so those working whether it's in the NHS or in residential care settings, have had a really tough time. They've been trying to carry on doing really difficult work, whether it's looking after patients or supporting families in increasingly challenging circumstances. So imagine, you know, being a nurse or being a care worker, you're going into work and it's not only hot outside, but it's also going up to, and we've had reports from some of our members, up to 40 degrees in rooms. And in one particular circumstance, this was in a facility that was looking after the dementia patients. And that's because in a lot of our hospitals and a lot of our care homes, they're just not geared up for hot weather. They're all directed to cold weather. But actually, we know that more and more the environment's heating up, and also our infrastructure just isn't set up to cope. So nurses, social care workers, they're going into work. It's 40 degrees. They're trying to look after patients. They're trying to provide the absolute best care that they can. But the reality is you're always going to suffer whether you're a patient or a member of staff in those circumstances. And what a lot of them have reported to us as their union is that when they've asked their employer for support, when they've asked for fans, when they've asked for, you know, additional equipment to help them, it's already too little too late. And a lot of employers are really struggling to adapt to the changing climate when actually it's getting quite predictable.
Goodness me, working in 40 degrees, I can't even imagine that. And of course, they can't wear anything they like to keep cool. They're in uniform as well, aren't they? I should think all of them. Are they in some form of uniform?
Absolutely. They're in uniform. They can't just walk off the ward to go and cool down and take breaks. You know, a lot of them are providing really intensive care and support. But that's where we'd be asking employers to plan ahead. This isn't something that's come out the blue. Every single year we're seeing heat waves and it's getting hotter and hotter, not just outside, but in workplaces as well. And employers are waiting to risk assess. They're waiting till the problem's already happening rather than saying, we know there's going to be heat waves this summer. We know it's going to get potentially up to 40 degrees inside. What can we do about it? And for those nurses on wards, for healthcare assistants, those who are in uniform, they can't just work from home, they've got to go in. They need to be risk assessed so that they can take breaks when they need them, far more breaks than usual. Refreshments are available. If you're sat there, you're dehydrated, you've not eaten in a while, you're going to get dizzy and you're going to get ill yourself. But also that's where mistakes are made for patients. Some of the reports from our members last week, the heat wave hit and suddenly employers were trying to source fans. They were suddenly trying to source portable air conditioning units. And what worries us as a union is that hospitals and care homes don't seem to have learned the lessons from COVID. If you're waiting for the disaster to happen until you're trying to source the right equipment, then it's probably too late. And what we do know is that as a result, there's equipment shortages. I mean, I think everyone was experiencing this last week. If you didn't have a fan They were out of stock. I certainly went into my local supermarket. There was no ice there. But employers, and in particular those like hospitals, who have such a vital role to play in keeping people safe, it's not acceptable that they're not planning ahead, that they're not treating summer heat as seriously as they treat winter crises.
Kent Online News.
A pizza delivery driver from Sheppey who was speeding when she lost control of her car and killed a pedestrian has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard Rosie Hansen was travelling between 54 and 68 in a 40 mile per hour zone when the collision happened in January 2024. The 21-year-old from Mimosa Avenue in Minster admitted causing death by careless driving and has been given a suspended sentence and 3-year driving ban. An Ashford woman who grew up in Venezuela has told us the devastation in her country following a double earthquake is hard to comprehend. Nearly 2,000 people have died and tens of thousands are still missing, while more than 90,000 buildings have been damaged or destroyed. Tingi Simoes Lopez is now collecting emergency kits to help rescuers.
Fortunately, my family are okay. The relatives that I have left there, as you know, a third of the country has left in the last several years. So I do have some friends left there and I do have some relatives. Fortunately, they're all fine. My dad's building cracked, my cousin's building cracked, but they both held. And I have a great aunt who is 100 years old who had to be rescued because she couldn't mobilize very well. But thank God they're all safe and sound. But obviously, as you know, there are so many who aren't. And there's over 40,000 people that are missing. So it's been overwhelming, I think, for all Venezuelans. And I really don't think that there's anyone human who can look at the devastation and not be moved, whether they're Venezuelan or not. But it has been, you know, quite a few crying jags throughout the day. I've had to ration my news consumption. But I have actually via social media, I saw that there were groups of people. There are like 6 restaurants in London, places in Bristol, in Bournemouth, in Leeds, in Scotland, that were mobilizing to get donations of the most important supplies. And I've never done anything like this. I have a PR agency in healthcare. I've never fundraised. I've never done anything like this. But I got in contact with the other groups and I just said, what are you guys doing? How are you doing it? Because I would like to do something. I want to feel like I've done something. So the group in particular in Bournemouth, what they said, which made sense, was they were trying to get together all the different groups that are fundraising and that are collating donations, and have it all so that we can organize shipping together. And so we have a shipping company, Lunbox, L-O-N-B-O-X, who we are liaising with, and they are guiding us. There are volunteer van drivers who will come help collect. The shipping people are guiding us on labels and weighing things. So it's not just, I don't feel like, oh, it's just little old me, you know. And fortunately, one of my closest friends who might already be well known in Ashford is Carolina Reinhardt, who set up the Ashford's first ever free shop. And so she graciously offered to host like a hub there for us to receive donations, because she already has sort of an infrastructure, because I live in a very small house and I was like, what do I do with boxes of nappies? And, you know, so it has happened literally only in the last 2-3 days, but my car is already full. The people have been so generous, giving us yoga mats, gloves, masks. I do need to stress that those are the types of things that we are looking for. We are not sending at this moment clothes, shoes, and toys or things like that. We are talking about supplies for those that are on the ground in the front line, things like work gloves, dust masks, and medical supplies, everything from, because some hospitals have been supplied, but some haven't and are, on their knees. So that's what we are asking people: gauze, dressings, and obviously personal hygiene items. So everything from, feminine products, baby formula. So we're not sending at the moment things like tinned food or anything like that. We are, us here, trying to keep the ship, the weight of the shipments as light as possible, and the volume as small as possible, because even though the shipping companies are doing it at cost, so we just want to make sure that they get there. And the people that I've been dealing with that are organizing in their own cities, it has really warmed my heart, how they've come out for the Venezuelan community. And in a way, this occurred to me the other day, and I felt quite choked up about it, that the fact that a third of us did leave, means that a third of the country is out there ready to help.
Supplies can be taken to the free shop in Ashford. It emerged rooms at a former care home on Sheppey that suddenly shut are being advertised for rent. Residents of Blackburn Lodge were forced to find alternative accommodation when it closed in 2023 following concerns over the water supply. The building was later sold at auction and now appears to be operating as an HMO. The new owner's been asked for a comment. Now, bosses in Maidstone have been criticised for struggling to find room for 530 traveller pitches in the borough. The authority had failed to cater for communities in its local plan in 2024, and a separate document is still not ready 2 years on. Councillors say it's because the issue is far bigger than for any other area. They've agreed to roll the issue into the next local plan review.
Kent Online reports.
Thousands of veterans in Kent are set to benefit from more support after a new centre opened in Aylesford. The facility at the Royal British Veterans Enterprises is part of a new programme designed to give ex-service people easier access to health, housing and employment. The charity is getting a share of £13 million. A Margate nightclub's had its licence suspended following complaints from neighbours about noise. A meeting's been told Fusion in Cliff Terrace has repeatedly violated terms which allowed it to stay open until 3 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights. The owner has said they're committed to following the rules. Thousands of people are expected at the showground in Detling over the next few days as the Kent County Show takes place. This year's event is also coinciding with another heatwave with temperatures in the high 20s. A stunt team is set to be one of the main attractions this year, but there'll also be the traditional farming displays. Nicola's been chatting to Matt Cullen, who's chairman of the Kent Agricultural Society.
What Jeremy Clarkson's done for farming has been fantastic, and here we do exactly the same here at the Society. You know, we are being the founders of Kent Agriculture Society. Our charitable objectives are here to support farmers and students going into farming. But what it's done, it's made the public more aware of the challenges that farmers are facing at the moment, whether that's with the added costs that we're all receiving, but particularly farmers, and also the very low minimum return that farmers get for their produce. You know, most farmers are only getting a 1% return on their business, and any normal business you wouldn't survive at that. And it's really highlighted the struggles, whether it's in the livestock sector, whether it's growing crops, whether it's growing veg, whether it's the fruit growers, all the challenges. And I think it's what Clarkson's done, and the more social medias that are out, and whether the government have moved at the moment, it's not been popular in the farming community. It's highlighted and brought the public support even greater than it's ever been before behind the farmers. And it's actually that they feel more appreciated for all the hard work they do. And something like this today at the show, it's just ideal because, you know, we can showcase the best of farming that we have in the country, and it just highlights, and the public can get behind and see it all, and it's a fantastic 3-day event to be at.
Have you felt that support from the public more, and what's it like to know that people are right behind you, they're right behind British farmers and Kent farmers in particular?
Yeah, I mean, we've felt it across the board since what the government done with the inheritance tax and obviously Jeremy Clarkson's coming out with his TV series, that support from the public has grown more and more and more. And we see it here at the show. The events that we do, the events that we hold, and particularly here at the King County Show, the interest when we put surveys out, you know, the top one that always comes out, we want to see the livestock, we want to come and see it. So, and there is more and more. I mean, this year we've expanded the living land area and we've given an even bigger pitch, because that's educating where your food comes from, how it's produced, and not just that, but all the tech side to farming as well. And I think it fascinates people, because there's more than just the average in brackets what they think farming is. There's more to it, you know, whether it's robotics, whether it's sat navigation, whether it's crop walking, whether it's, you know, rural solicitors, whether it's partnerships, whether it's woodland management. There's so much on that sector. And I think that now the public are starting to see that there's more than just waking up early in the morning, milking cows or feeding chickens. There's so much more into farming than originally thought, and so many areas to go into and look and explore. That's what's got the interest from the public, and that's where the programmes that you're seeing so much on TV is really driving the support. And the public are coming out publicly and really supporting. You know, we are receiving the great comments, and me as myself as a farmer, talking to the public, you get a sense of real support and thank you for all that we do.
Which is fantastic and thoroughly deserved. Of course, the show is a lot more than just farming. Is there anything else in particular that you're looking forward to seeing this year?
Yeah, I mean, this year we've got record numbers, as we always try and beat each year on the livestock section. But, you know, the equine this year have also got record numbers in the equine side. So there's lots of show jumping going on. Not only that, we've got great numbers of heritage. So there's lots of heritage vehicles to come and see. And not forget that lots of people seem to forget, we've got a lovely woodland here, and we've got stacks of activities going on, pail making, lots of things going on in our woodland that I think some people tend to forget that that's on the side of the showground there, and it's all accessible from the public to go and look at. And not but least, all the trade. And we're trying to change the trade. We're getting more and more trade that the public demand and want to see. So there's lots of things to go and look at, but it's not just about the trade, it's about everything else. And also, you cannot forget the perfectly produced food in Kent. We've got the Produced in Kent Marquee, which everyone loves a tipple or a try of something to eat. So there's lots of lovely food here for people to go and try and buy. And it's just such nice. It's a family affair. It's bringing the best in Kent out on show, and bringing everyone from Kent together.
And if you're heading along, don't forget to go and see our colleagues from KMFM. They've got a pop-up studio, so you can have a go at being a radio presenter. It's a big milestone for the Sheppey Crossing, as the bridge was opened 20 years ago today. It's used around a million times a month and has made it quicker for drivers to get on and off the island. The four-lane crossing, which is 35 metres high, was built as part of a £100 million improvement of the A249. And the first Pound Stretcher store in Tenterden is due to open for the first time today. It's taken over the former Original Factory Shop store in the High Street, which closed in March. It's created 12 jobs.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and the Gillingham manager's told us he's pleased with their summer signings so far. They've been on the recruitment drive after 16 left the squad at the end of their last campaign. It's thought there could still be another couple of arrivals at Priestfield before the season gets underway. Gareth Ainsworth has been speaking to our sports reporter, Luke Cordell.
I'll be cracking the whip, making sure that they're doing it right, but I'll leave it to the experts and make sure we've got... What I've asked for is... A really fit, strong team this year. You know, I really want to be running hard and working hard and running over teams. That's what I want. That's what I'm used to. That's what the success I've had with teams, and hopefully we can do that.
Some teams are going abroad for pre-season. You won't need to in this league, will you?
No, we don't need to. You know, and I say it's unfair after what we've been given at this club over the last 4 or 5 years since the Gallantons took over. It's unfair just to keep asking all the time for things, you know, we make do. What I will say is that Hayden, our groundsman, has done an incredible job with the pitches.
It really
has. It really has, you know, in a I know for a fact he's been doing 12-hour days and he's on his own. He has young Tom with him, but you know, primarily he's on his own. And I just want to say that I've been down to the training ground, I've looked at Priestfield, and I'm really impressed in such a short space of time what he's been able to turn around. So we aim to put good football on good pitches.
You're excited for those two pre-season games here, is it Millwall or Charlton?
Yeah, really excited because they're different from previous years. They're obviously going to draw crowds, and you know, Millwall are going to be very strong. You know, they almost got in the Premier League last year, and Charlton again will be looking at themselves to try and improve in the Championship. So you know, I know both managers come up against both managers before, quite friendly with both clubs, and it's nice to have that sort of local feel about them both, you know. So yeah, really excited for those.
Is your pre-season programme complete now? I mean, there's only sort of four senior ones, I think, from what I can see, you've got behind closed doors games?
Yeah, we've got a couple of behind closed doors. It probably looks a bit slimmer on paper, but behind closed doors there's plenty going on, and you know, there's probably a couple of games on that last day, so everyone's going to, hopefully the aim is for everyone to get 90 minutes by the time that Luton comes round, but definitely by the time Walsall comes round, and that's where we are.
Looking forward to that first game at Dover, I think, isn't it, in a week and a bit?
Yeah, always. You know, we read it last year. You know, as always, there will be a lot of chopping and changing the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to that.
Do you do trialists? Are you going to have some trials for that?
We will do. I'm sure that'll happen, but. Like I say, with these youngsters, sometimes clubs get trialists in just to fill positions. Yeah. I don't need to. I'm really happy with where we are. You know, I think getting it right in the summer, getting the actual permanence in, is really important for me. And I'm sure there'll be one or two trialists knocking about, but on the whole, I think we'll be body heavy, ready to go into the games.
Now on to cricket, and it's another T20 Blast game for Kent tonight. They're travelling to take on Worcestershire Rapids. It follows a victory for the Spitfires against Hampshire Hawks last time out. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. You can also check out this week's secret drinker review of the Embassy Roadhouse in Sandwich, and head to the What's On page to take a look at all the events going on across Kent this weekend.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.